It's taking a few minutes until I finish putting the tarp back up.
Shnivad Paramahansa Parivacha Kacharya. Astadara Satisri Sriman His Divine Grace Aisi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. ISKCON Founder Acharya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivacha Kacharya. Astra Darasatta, Sri Sriman, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj ki, Harinam Sankirtan ki, Tai Gopu Premanandi. Glories to the assembled devotees, glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pastyatya De Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, everyone is okay, nicely situated, everything is going smoothly. Okay, good. First day of the camp. It's always a wonderful program. It's such an opportunity to dive deeply into the process of devotional service and get saturated with Krishna consciousness from all angles. Some austerity is there, like in anything we do, but austerity just adds to the bliss of the whole program. So if there's any difficulty, it's just an illusion. It's all nectar. my presentation on behalf of Srila Prabhupada is to speak on the five potent forms of devotional service. And these five potent forms of devotional service were specifically and very directly given to Srila Rupa Goswami by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when for 10 days Rupa Goswami heard Lord Chaitanya speak about the science of devotional service in a place called Allahabad. And for 10 full days Rupa Goswami had transcendental memory. He was able to remember everything Lord Chaitanya told him. And for those 10 days, he imbibed this science of devotional service. And later, he wrote one book based on that talk, and that was Bhakti Rasamrita Sindha, or Nectar Devotion. Of course, he also wrote other books, but this particular book deals with how to perform devotional service properly, effectively. There's always a wrong way and there's always a right way in anything you do. And because Krishna consciousness is a science that is on the subtle platform, it's not perceivable by gross manifestations of our senses. It's understood through the process of hearing and applying that hearing exactly according to the directions of the Lord and the spiritual master. And by following that with what we say, fixed attention, gradually one can awaken to one's natural Krishna consciousness. So Lord Chaitanya has focused on five main aspects of devotional service as the most powerful, as the most important. and Rupa Goswami included them in his writings. And these are chanting of the holy names of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and that means both kirtan and japa. Worshipping the Lord in the form of the deity, Archivigrahara form, which is an incarnation of the Lord in a particular way, to purify the worshipper and to give direct darshan of the Lord in his transcendental form as the deity. The third is to associate with devotees. Now, Rupa Goswami explains that this association refers to those who are pure devotees. But this can be extended, because this principle is not limited simply to pure devotee, but to the association with devotees as a principle of practicing spiritual life successfully or effectively. The fourth is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Very important. There's one verse in the scriptures. What is that verse? Bhaktivayesha abhidresha nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhaktivi uttama sloki bhaktir bhavati naistiki. By regular attendance in Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all inauspicious things, that means all the contamination within the heart due to the association of the material energy, is practically destroyed simply by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord, who was glorified by beautiful and choice poetry, is established as an irrevocable fact. So Bhagavatam is so important. And Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Krishna. Krishna is none different than Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is none different than Krishna. And we'll speak about that for a whole session upcoming. And the last is the importance of holy places. And Rupa Goswami mentions particular Mathura Vrindavan. But this refers to all those places of pilgrimage, such as Jagannath Puri, Mayapur Dham, Rishikesh, Ujjain, the most holy places where Lord had performed his wonderful transcendental pastimes. And that also could be extended to wherever the Lord resides, actually, is a holy place. Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj gave us a wonderful realization. He wanted to leave this world in Gita Nagari as opposed to going to the world to Vrindavan Dham or to Mayapur, because he wanted to show that Gita Nagari was a holy place. Because Srila Prabhupada had placed his transcendental lotus feet there. So wherever the pure devotee comes, that place also becomes a holy place. So these are the five main potent forms. And Srila Rupa Goswami says a very, very powerful statement in regards to these five principles. He says that even a gross neophyte, or someone who is just coming in contact with the process of bhakti, devotional service, they can experience ecstatic symptoms in relationship to one or more of these processes. This is how powerful each one of these processes is, if performed with the right consciousness. So today, I'll begin by speaking about the holy name. In fact, as I mentioned, the holy name, the deity, association, Srimad Bhagavatam, and holy places. So in the same way, I'll delineate, or I'll explain these five in that same order. So today we'll speak about the chanting of the holy name. So some of you may be thinking, you know, we've heard so much about the holy name. But if you think that means you really don't know much about the holy name because the holy name is Krishna. And if you know everything about the holy name, then you are fully Krishna conscious. You know, then Krishna has descended in the form of his name. And I'll read a few verses to begin to show the glories of the holy name. These are from the revealed scriptures. Just to give a little bit of a emphasis on how important or how much emphasis of exclusiveness the holy name is given in the scriptures. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 7, verse number 74. It says, in this age of Kali, there is no religious principle other than the chanting of the holy name, which is the essence of all Vedic hymns. This is the purport of all scriptures. Powerful statement, huh? I'll read it again. In this age of Kali, there is no religious principle other than chanting of the holy name, which is the essence of all Vedic hymns. This is the purport of all scriptures. And Srila Prabhupada also said that really, all your advancement, not some, but all of your advancement depends on the quality of your chanting. Why do we do so many other things if all we need to do is chant? Good question. Why don't just chant? If you could do that without sleeping and without diverting your attention away from that, then that would be your perfection. But because of our association with the material energy, we need to purify our hearts and minds in such a way that we can come to the platform of goodness. Without coming to the platform of goodness, one cannot come to transcendence. And therefore, one cannot really chant the holy names of the Lord properly until we develop the qualities of the mode of goodness, which allows us to chant the holy names. So that's why everything else is there, in order to support that principle of chanting. Because chanting really is everything. There's another verse. Of course, you all know this verse. We always say it all. Well, I'll find the exact. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, 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 gati anyata. In this age of Kali, there is no other means for self-realization than chanting of the holy name, chanting of the holy name, chanting of the holy name. Why is it said three times? Because three times, as explained by the Vedic principles of what we say, making a point. A point is really emphasized without no other consideration when it's given three times. No other way, no other way, no other way. Maybe some other way, no other way. It's like those of you who are mothers, you have children, some of you. And a child is like naughty. Okay, come here, come here, come here. Okay, three times, emphasize. So the third, this why this verse is mentioning the holy name without any other consideration. So again, we can see the importance of taking shelter of Krishna's holy name. There's a beautiful verse in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 11.5.32. I'll get the exact translation. I know the translation, but I want to give it to you the exact way. So, I'm sorry, it's 12.3.51. That's the actual verse, 12.3.51. Kaler Doshini De Rajan Asti eko mahagunaha kirtana eva krishnasya mukta sangha parambhaja. So this verse is spoken by Kardanabhajana Rishi, who is one of the nine yogendras, the sons of Bhart Maharaj. And he's speaking to one king whose name is King Nimi. And King Nimi is asking for that most important religious process in this age. And the sage explains in the first line, "My dear king, in this age, it's an ocean of faults. There's so many problems, right? On all levels we see. Social problems, family problems, individual problems, national problems, international problems, racial problems, problems, the mind is giving problems, so many problems." Of course, what was it, Maharaj, Bir Krishna Maharaj says, there's no problems, just challenges, right? So many challenges. So many challenges. But sometimes these are big challenges. They're like mountains. And so this verse, the sage is saying, it's an ocean of difficulties this age. Even if you try to chant, and sit down and be quiet and chant, there's always some disturbance, right? It's hard even to find a good place to chant. Sometimes there's so many disturbances. It's just the way Kali Yuga is. The atmosphere is so permeated with so many sinful activities. Because as people commit sin and deviate from moral and religious principles, that consciousness pervades the atmosphere. Just like if you go into a temple sometimes, you come from outside, all of a sudden you feel different. Why? Because the atmosphere is devotional. It's in the mode of goodness. The deities there, the devotees there, devotional service is there, the kirtan's there. The atmosphere just lifts you up. But as soon as you go out again, all of a sudden you feel that energy just kind of, it's heavy, it drags you down. So wherever there's sinful activity or heavy materialistic activity, that atmosphere is like that. So therefore it's a very bad age. On all levels. And the next line says, but after he gives that statement, he says, "My dear king, there's so many faults, but there's one benefit. Asti eko. Eko means one. Maha means great. Gunaha means one great benediction. What is that? Next line, kirtana eva krishnasya. Simply by chanting the holy names of the Lord, kirtan, one, not just kirtan, but Krishna kirtan, glorifying the Lord in the form of Krishna, mukta sangha paramvaja, one can enter into the kingdom of God, one can purify their existence. Powerful verse. So here's the hope. This is the light. The other day, not the other day, I think it was yesterday, someone asked personal question. It was questions and answers. We were in Zagreb with Sachi Nandana Maharaj, and it was questions and answers at the temple. Someone asked, what do you find successful in your own spiritual life? I was thinking, well, I'm not so successful, but let me come up with something anyway. So, but I reflected in a serious way, and that just take shelter of the holy name. If we simply take shelter of the holy name in any situation, we're purified. We're in the best, even if we're not tasting the sweetness of Krishna's name, which is very sweet. It's very sweet. And in fact, it's Krishna in the form of his name, and all the qualities of Krishna are within his name. Still, by taking shelter of Krishna's holy name in any situation, we are, what we say, associating with the Lord. Although we may not experience that association fully, still, the power of Krishna's holy name is so wonderful that even if one is not chanting what we say perfectly or without offense, still there's some benefit. There's shelter from the material energy. There's shelter from our minds, which are always giving us so many propositions. Mind's always giving some proposition. Do this, do that, go here, say this, try this, do that. Take shelter of Krishna's name. So this is the benefit in this age. I'll read some more, because these, I think it's important to hear from the scriptures the glories of the holy name. This is one of my favorite verses, and this is from the Padma Purana. Padma Purana is important because actually the Padma Purana is the, practically the most important Purana outside of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, Srila Prabhupada wanted to translate the Padma Purana and give purports like he did with Srimad Bhagavatam. But unfortunately, he didn't stay long enough to do that. But that was one of his desires. And so many wonderful quotes are from the Padma Purana. And here's one. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnya Suda Nitya Mukta Binnatvam Nami Nami No. In this verse, it goes line by line describing the glories of the holy name. The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions. It is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete, and it's the form of all transcendental mellows. It is not a material name under any condition. It is no less powerful than Krishna himself. So Krishna's name is Krishna. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by the material qualities, there is no question of its being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. Wonderful verse describing so many wonderful attributes of Krishna's holy name. How it is always transcendental in all situations. In fact, the holy name doesn't even depend on initiation. One can chant the holy name and make advancement just simply by chanting the holy name. But of course, one cannot remain fixed in chanting the holy name unless one gets guidance from the living representative of the holy name, the spiritual master. Because Kali Yuga is so difficult. Therefore, we need to take shelter of the spiritual master and purify our consciousness through his instructions. That way we can chant the holy name. But the holy name itself is independent from any ritual, any procedure. And it is, Krishna has descended in the holy name. What is Kali Kale Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar? Beautiful verse, beautiful verse. Krishna has come in the form of his name, Kali Kale, in this age of Kali, Nama Rupa, the form of the name, Krishna Avatar, is the avatar of Krishna in sound vibration. Sometimes people ask, well, is Krishna coming in this age? Yes, he comes in the form of his name. He's here, present, right now. In fact, Prabhupada says he's dancing on the tongue of the devotee as he chants the holy names of the Lord. The holy name is so wonderful. But what is the holy name? It's five letters. K-R-S-N-A. Is that all it is? Just five letters? Really? Just you write it down. You can write it down. There it is. Krishna. Does that make it Krishna? Yes, because Krishna he's placed himself within the holy name. But there are some who see the holy name as simply as five letters. So when they chant the holy name, what do they get? Five letters. That's all. It depends on your faith. Nityananda, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, he is the, he is the broker. He's traveling throughout the world and he's setting up a little shop. He's like a merchant. He has his traveling shop. And he sets it up in different places around the world. And he has a big sign, for sale, holy name. Big sign. And you come, and you have to pay. You can't get it for free. There's a price, because Nityananda, he's a merchant. And what is the price? If you have five, what is it, kunas? Something like that. 20 kunas. 5 kunas is nothing. Let's say 100 kunas. If you have 100 kunas and you give that to Lord Nityananda, he'll give you 100 kunas worth of the holy name. But the currency really is not something, you know, material. It's your faith. If you have 5 kunas of faith, 20 kunas, 1,000 kunas. In other words, the more faith you have, the more the Lord Nityananda will give you the mercy of the Holy Name. It's based on faith. We chant the Holy Name with that faith. That faith awakens within us the mercy of the Holy Name. So some people, some not necessarily devotees, but persons who may have come in contact with the Holy Name. Just like when Srila Prabhupada first began the Hare Krishna movement back in the 1960s. He met one beatnik. He was a poet. He was the hero of the hippie generation. His name was Allen Ginsberg. He had written so many poetries about rebelling against establishment, and he was like the hero of the hippies. You all know what a hippie is? Yeah, I'm sure you all do. Someone asked Prabhupada, what's a hippie? Prabhupada said, something extraordinary. And then someone asked that question again. Prabhupada said, you know better than I do. Doesn't fit within the 8,400,000 species. Something different. Anyway, I'm sure I was a hippie one time too. Maybe still am, but a little different. Anyway, this hero of the hippie generation, he had gone to India, and he had heard the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in India. And he used to come back, and he would do his little program, entertainment. And he had a little hand accordion, which he would play, and he would chant various songs. So he would chant different things like, Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. Mary had a little lamb, her fleece was white as snow. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He'd chant like that. And he was thinking, there's no difference between Mary had a little lamb chant and the Hare Krishna chant. It's all very nice. But Prabhupada told him a little different. I think he changed after hearing from Prabhupada. But that was his initial understanding, that the Hare Krishna mantra was a nice song, and I should include it in my songs. So his realization was very low, hardly any. So that's not the idea. The idea is a little better than that. There are those who have a little better than that, where they think that the holy name is a representation of Krishna. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this, that the holy name represents the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like Krishna is... One time, His Holiness, Satsarupa Maharaj, was giving a lecture. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting next to his student. And this was back in the early days. Prabhupada would sometimes do that. He would sit there and he would let you give class. And it was really frightening. And he was like, And so Satsarupa Maharaj was giving class, and he was speaking about the glories of the holy name, and he said, Krishna is in his name. Krishna is in his name. And Prabhupada stopped him. He He said, where in his name is he? Where in his name is he? And then he realized, no, it's a mistake. Krishna is not in his name. Krishna is his name. It's a difference. So some people think that the holy name is a representation. And that's a little better than the five-letter followers. But ultimately, the name of Krishna is Krishna. There's no difference. And we can realize that through purified chanting. How to purify our chanting? This is important. The most important thing is that one should have firm faith, that simply by chanting the holy names of the Lord, all my problems will be solved. All my desires will be fulfilled. Everything happens under the mercy of the holy name. Of course, coming through the Lord's pure devotee who is giving us the holy name. And we also have to avoid offenses. Offenses are like clouds. The holy name is like the sun. The sun is bright, just like now we can see. The sun is so powerful. It's shining everywhere. It's giving great light and great heat. But somehow or other, if some cloud comes over, then the sun is blocked. But the sun is still there. But what we see is not the sun. We only get some dim reflection through the cloud. So those clouds are like offenses. So one has to be very, very careful to avoid offenses. Because offenses block the mercy of the holy name. And of course we have 10 offenses to the holy name. I'm not going to take time to go through the 10 offenses. They're very important, of course. And practically in all our temples every day we chant the 10 offenses. They're listed. But one should know these 10 offenses, know the meaning of the 10 offenses, and try to avoid the offenses. Because by avoiding the offenses, then through the process of chanting, the mercy of the name flows. Now, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura explains what offense is, what he says is that if you want to improve your japa, you should try to work on attentive chanting. This is where he says. He says that the 11th offense, the offense of inattention, is the worst offense. In the sense that by chanting inattentively, gradually we have a tendency to commit the other offenses. It becomes easy to commit offenses when one is not chanting attentively. Someone asked Prabhupada, how do you feel when you chant Hare Krishna? Prabhupada said, I feel fearless. Fearless. No fear. Prabhupada's name was Abhay, right? Abhay Charanan, one who fearlessly takes shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. Someone asked Prabhupada the question again, same thing. Prabhupada said, I feel powerful. So when we're chanting attentively, everything is there. Krishna, when from the holy name, purifies our mind, gives us clear understanding. It's not that we won't be attacked by Maya. Maya is always there to attack. That is always there. But when with proper chanting of the holy names of the Lord, we have the armor, we have the protection against the attacks of Maya. We have the intelligence to deal with Maya's attacks. So it's very important to work on attentive chanting. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakura explains that there's three ways to become inattentive. In Sanskrit, they're called Vikshepa, Audakshina, and Jadya. Now, vikshepa means distraction. Distraction. We become distracted. Just like I'm giving a lecture now, and some of you are thinking, when is lunch? It's distraction. Distraction simply means that somehow or other our attention goes away from the name and we start thinking about something material. Sometimes devotees think about their service while they're chanting, right? When you're chanting, you're starting to think, I got this service to do, I'm going to do this service, I'm going to do this service in this particular way. Well, here's another idea for service. Is that distraction? It's not so bad, but still, that's not the idea. Because Srila Prabhupada said, there's no question of controlling your mind. Just hear the mantra, that's all. Just focus your mind on the mantra. Don't try to control your mind. You can't do it. Controlling the mind means absorbing the mind in the sound. The mind, when the mind becomes captivated by the sound, then the mind is controlled. The mind is fixed. So absorb yourself in that, the sound of Krishna's name like that. So distraction is there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains how to overcome distraction. When distraction becomes what we say an epidemic, or becomes so bad that even by one's own efforts one cannot somehow or other chant attentively. I was watching a few devotees today. I was distracted, so I was watching others. And I was seeing some of you were really struggling to chant this morning. And that's good. We should struggle. But at the same time, we should also be victorious in our struggle. Not that we chant 16 rounds and we finish 16 rounds and we think, I didn't get anything out of that. This should be an experience. There should be a purification. The consciousness should be elevated. So we have to struggle, but we should struggle in the right way. So if we're becoming distracted, how do you overcome distraction? Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, sit down or come near someone who is very serious and chant next to that person. Chant with someone who is very, very fixed in their chanting. Don't be afraid. Just go there and sit down next to someone who is absorbed, and you'll also become absorbed. Another thing he says, when it gets really bad and attention becomes impossible, he says, close your eyes, cover your ears, and chant the holy name with great determination. In other words, shut out all sensory objects other than sound and just absorb yourself in the holy name, and chant with enthusiasm. So we have to somehow or other work hard to bring about attention. Attention is so important. So distraction is there. The second one is called audakshina. Audakshina means apathy or laziness. We're chanting, I guess, adi, adi, adi. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Hare Hare. I guess, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare 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 Krishna. One's prasad. No enthusiasm. I'm just trying to get my rounds done. That's all. Just speaking the words and just somehow or other the mind's going everywhere. No enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is the life of devotional service, and especially when we chant the holy names. There should be some real determination and enthusiasm applied. Not apathy. Oh, 14 rounds done. Two more to go. Two more to go. It's a struggle. No, actually it's nectar. It's the bliss. It's wonderful. It's Krishna's mercy. It's coming in the form of the holy name. It's purification. So we should always look forward to chanting the holy names, even if it's difficult. As soon as we surrender to the holy name, then ultimately the holy name takes over. But if we surrender to getting our rounds done, one time Shruti Kirti, Srila Prabhupada's personal servant, he was with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Prabhupada, very, very methodically, he took the last bead and went, and he said, 16 rounds, done. Now I can do any damn thing I want. And then he said, devotees, they think like that. Think, if I get my rounds done, then the whole day is freed. And then this is where the bliss comes. But actually, everything depends on the mercy of the holy name. So we should look forward to chanting. We should be eager for chanting. It's an austerity in this age, but compared to other ages, it's nothing. In other ages, people performed great austerities. I mean, Vishwamitra Muni, he sat down in the middle of the summer and lit 7 fires around him in the hot sun, and he meditated. Now, he did that not to become self-realized. He did that simply to become a powerful brahmana. It wasn't even a devotional goal. He simply wanted to become powerful. And in the winter time, he would immerse himself into water up to his neck, and he would meditate. But again, it was simply to become powerful. So no one can perform severe austerities. So the austerity in this age is to chant the holy name. Yagnai sankirtanai prayai yajantihi sumedasaha. Krishna varna tvasa krishnam. Sangopanga saparsadam yagnai sankirtana praya yajantihi sumedasa. That in this age, that the sacrifice or the austerity in this age is to chant the holy names of the Lord. Chant the holy names of the Lord. And 16 rounds? No. 16 is minimum. 16 is minimum. Just like I asked Naranjana Maharaj, I say, what do you ask your disciples during initiation? You do ask them to take the vows and chant 16 rounds. He said, I asked him to chant at least 16 rounds. Not just 16, but at least 16. We hear the history of the Hare Krishna movement. Prabhupada wanted to introduce 64 rounds. But devotees said it was too much, Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, all right, 32. And then the devotees thought, we still have too much services. So Prabhupada said 16 rounds. That's the minimum, no less. But even that's hard, right? So we have to actually see that it's an austerity, but compared to the austerities that are performed, look how hard the materialists work in order to get some kind of success in material life, some sense gratification. How they work all day to get money. Why? To enjoy sense gratification. It's all foolish, of course. It's based on ignorance, and and their goals are illusionary. But still, they're willing to make some such sacrifice. So we can sacrifice simply to chant the holy names of the Lord. So this is very, very important. Chanting of the holy names of the Lord also depends on association with devotees. This is also important. Of course, I know many of you are living in the world and you have responsibilities with families, but devotees should get together and chant, even within the family. Families should chant together. Prabhupada said, as grihasthas, someone asked him, what should grihasthas do as a duty for spiritual practice? Prabhupada says, grihasthas should do 4 things. He said they should chant the holy names together, read Krishna book together, worship the deity together, and take prasadam together. It's not simple, right?
be all doing that? Simple. If you do that together within the family, your house actually becomes a temple. It actually becomes a mandir. It's no different than an ordinary temple, a regular temple. If we do four things, chant together, worship together, take prasadam together, and you know, glorify the Lord together. So the holy name should be done in association of devotees. Because as we associate with devotees, also we purify our consciousness. And we allow, which allows us to chant the holy names of the Lord. So, now, what are the benefits of the chanting of the holy names? Lord Chaitanya has given those benefits in the first verse of the Shikshastika prayers. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava maha dirvagni nirvapanam shreya kaiva vichendrika vitaranam vidyavarhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam patipadam purnam ritasvardhanam sarvatma snaparam param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam. Cheto darpana marjanam, the holy name cleanses the mind. The mind, the heart, is the sitting place of all desire. Association with material energy brings about wrong desire, the desire to somehow find happiness through the mind and senses, using the material energy as the object of our happiness. This is called material contamination, material association. Chant the holy names of the Lord, gradually the mind becomes purified. The mind is like a mirror. It reflects what's inside, outside. We see the world not according to... No two people see this world the same. Did you know that? There's no two visions are the same. Everyone sees... Even those who see similar see different, slightly. Everyone thinks, why doesn't everybody see like me? It's obvious, isn't it? Why can't they understand? There it is. It's black and white. It's understood. Yeah. No. We see through what we call consciousness. And consciousness is according to a level of purification. How does a pure devotee see? He sees Krishna everywhere and everything in Krishna. Is that reality? Yeah. If you're not seeing Krishna everywhere, you're not seeing reality. Haribo. You're seeing something less. So what we're seeing actually is we're seeing through our, what we say, contaminated consciousness. So therefore we have to see through the eyes of Scripture, which allows us to see at least with glasses. At least we're getting the aid of the Scriptures to see better. And that way we're getting a clearer vision. But when we become purified in heart, and the mind becomes free from all material attachments and all material contaminations, then we actually see. Then is Cheto, Darpana, Marjanam. The mirror of the mind becomes clean. And what happens? We reflect Krishna everywhere. Someone asked Prabhupada, can you see Krishna? Prabhupada said, if I told you, would you believe me? Because you have to have the adhikari, the qualifications to see Krishna. So if someone asks someone, can you see Krishna? And that person says yes, would you believe them? How do you know they're telling the truth unless you can understand what are the qualifications to see Krishna? If you don't have the qualifications, you will accept whatever answer the person gives or may doubt the answer. So Prabhupada answered that you have to understand what it means to see Krishna before you can understand my answer. And then Prabhupada finally said, yes. He said, there was never a time I'm not seeing Krishna.
He says, just like I'm seeing you and you're seeing me, similarly I'm seeing Krishna like that. So that's the vision of a Mahabhagavat, or one who's on the highest platform of spiritual, actually seeing Krishna within everything. They're never outside of Krishna. One time, it's interesting, I'm learning little stories I remember about Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was talking about chanting. So someone asked Prabhupada, do you chant all the time? Prabhupada said, yes, I'm always chanting. Prabhupada said, put your ear on my back. The devotee went over there and put his ear on his back. He could hear the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Yeah. He was listening to Prabhupada's body. Prabhupada told him, put your ear on my back in a certain place. And he could hear the mantra going on inside of Prabhupada. And this is purification. This is pure chanting. So when we come to that platform, then we're... And how do we do that? Through the process of... through chanting and through following the instructions of the spiritual master. Everyone is a pure devotee. Somebody asked Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, what is your program for making Vaishnavas? How can we make Vaishnav? Bhaktisiddhanta said, there's no question of making Vaishnavs. There's no program for making Vaishnavs. Everyone is a Vaishnav. Yeah, that's how he answered that question. Everyone is a Vaishnava. We have to realize that everyone actually is a pure devotee of the Lord. We're just covered by this energy called Maya. And as soon as that covering goes through the process of bhakti, and then the purity of our own existence becomes experienced. You all look so doubtful. It's possible. But really, Krishna consciousness simply means removing the coverings, getting rid of the contamination. That's all. Everything is there within our heart. It's not that pure devotees are a certain classification. Everyone is a pure devotee. We can realize it. Simply, no matter who you are, what is your service, what is your position in the world, everyone can purely develop a relationship with Krishna. Sometimes devotees think, well, you know, I'm not so advanced. I'm not a sannyasi. I'm not a GBC. I'm not, you know, I got so many. This is all Maya's dictations. We should always remember that we have the opportunity to reach the highest plan. This is Lord Chaitanya's special mercy, that anyone can reach the highest platform simply through this process of chanting the holy names and very carefully following the instructions of the spiritual master with determination, with enthusiasm, developing the qualities that are necessary to imbibe the principles properly. These are the things that are foundational to purifying our heart. So the first installation is mind and the heart becomes clean. The second one is Bhava Maha Dervagni Nirvapanam, that this material energy is like a blazing fire. It's just consuming everyone in the cycle of birth, death, disease, and old age. Miseries of the body, miseries of the mind, miseries coming by higher powers. These are all forced upon the living being. So this material energy is very powerful, and no one can get out of it. But by chanting the holy names, Prabhupada says you push back the fire of the material energy. I'm going to say something, but don't do it. But I just want to give you an example. If you were to stop chanting for about 3 days, you will notice a big difference in your life. Don't stop. You don't realize how much you're protected by the holy name. Krishna, even though if we think, you know, I'm struggling, I'm not making much advancement, but actually, as soon as we stop chanting for a day or two, you'll notice the difference. tremendous difference. How much the holy name is protecting us against Maya. How much the holy name is giving us so many understandings of Krishna consciousness. How powerful that holy name is. Sometimes we don't see the effects of our chanting, but we're receiving so much. Even if we're still having, it's still chanting with offense, still there's benefit there. Tremendous benefit. So the holy name is keeping Maya away. Maya cannot affect the devotee who takes shelter of the holy names. The third is Shreya Kaiva Vichandrika Vitaranam. That it is explained that Shreya is auspicious, Chandrika is moon, and Kairava is a lotus flower. It's a special kind of lotus flower. It's not like an ordinary lotus flower. It's a lotus flower that blooms under the rays of the moon. Now, most lotus flowers, all lotus flowers, get their nourishment from the sun, but this one gets one from the moon. So the holy name is like the cooling moon rays that the lotus flower is considered to be our hidden treasure. We have everyone has a hidden treasure, and it's our lotus. It is, in other words, it's our good fortune. When the holy name comes upon the heart of the devotee, the lotus of the heart opens up gradually, and our good fortune is awakened. What is our good fortune? Is that we come in contact with Krishna through the sound of his name. This is the beginning of spiritual life. So the holy name awakens our good fortune. It reveals that treasure that is in our heart, pure love of God. That's the third benediction. The fourth is Vidya Vatu Jivanam. Now, Vidya means knowledge, and Vidya is feminine. It's a goddess of knowledge. Vadu means bride, like there's the bride and the bridegroom, the husband and the wife. And Jivanam means life. Now, this is an interesting poetic analogy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this, that the bride, or the wife, she becomes enlivened by the presence of the bridegroom, or the husband. When a wife has a very good husband, she's happy, right? I don't know too much about these things, but anyway. When a wife has a very good husband, she feels enlivened. So transcendental knowledge is feminine. It's called Vidya. Sometimes we name one of our ladies, we give her the name Vidya, Mother Vidya, like that. I know one girl, her name was Mother Vidya. Knowledge means Vidya, Vidya, knowledge. So transcendental knowledge becomes awakened or enlivened by the presence of the holy name. If you read the scriptures, you get some theoretical understanding of spiritual knowledge. But when you chant the holy names and hear transcendental philosophical principles, then that knowledge takes root within the heart. It awakens devotion to the Lord. It becomes a realization in itself. Just like everything we do, just like to go back, many spiritual groups, they don't chant. They just speak philosophy, right? Prabhupada would sometimes go to these big Pandel programs. And there would be all these yogis and sages. They would be sitting on the stage, and Prabhupada would be one of many. And everyone would have a presentation, and someone would speak, and they would speak for a long time, and somebody else would speak, and he would give his philosophy. And then when it got time to, usually Prabhupada would go last. So many times when it got to Prabhupada, he would just point at a devotee, let's have kirtan. Let's purify the atmosphere, you know. Hearing all his philosophy, and on and on and on and on and on. It's nice, and some interesting things are there, but without the holy name, it's really dry. The holy name gives life to transcendental knowledge, makes everything so wonderful. This is the power of the holy name. The next one is Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, that the holy name is an ocean of transcendental happiness. It gives tremendous pleasure. It's unlimited ocean. One cannot measure the depths of an ocean. Sometimes you stand at the shore and you just look. You can look for miles and all you see is water everywhere. And also deep, it goes unlimitedly deep. The holy name is like that. So much happiness can be found in the holy name. In fact, it is explained that the living being is limited, but the Lord is unlimited. So when the unlimited Lord, in the form of the name, comes upon the heart of the limited jiva becomes unlimited. In other words, the holy name actually awakens unlimited happiness. There's no limit to the bliss of chanting the holy names of the Lord. Whatever bliss we're experiencing now is a small drop, tiny drop of the happiness that's found within the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives an example of how transcendence is always expanding. He says, Radharani, she's there, and Krishna, he's there. So Krishna, he looks at Radharani, and he sees how beautiful Radharani is. And then when he sees how beautiful she is, he becomes happier. And then when he becomes happier, he becomes more beautiful. And then Radharani looks at Krishna, and she sees he's become more beautiful, so she becomes more happy. And when she becomes more happy, she becomes more beautiful. And then Krishna looks at Radharani and sees that she's become more beautiful, so he becomes more happy, and he becomes more beautiful. And then Radharani sees Krishna's even become even more beautiful, so she becomes more happy, and then she becomes more beautiful. So it just keeps going. Unlimited. Try that with your wife. It doesn't work. Or your husband. Maybe once or twice, but, after that, it's just like, it's just like we're not Radha and Krishna. Sometimes we try to be like that, but we just don't make it. Anyway, this is the mercy of the holy name. It's unlimitedly expanding in all aspects of its qualities, and especially in the level of happiness. Unlimited happiness. The sixth, Pratipadam Purnam Rita Swardhanam, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that this means that the holy name can give us realization of our eternal position in the spiritual world. At every step of the chanting, newer and newer realizations of Krishna consciousness become revealed, all the way up to realizing our relationship with Krishna in the holy name. Everything is there within Krishna's name. Even one can understand through that process. Prabhupada says, through the process of chanting the holy name, when you are purified, the spiritual master will come and personally enlighten you who you are in the spiritual world. He spoke that, because sometimes people think, well, who am I? Am I a gopi? I'm a rock? I'm a peacock, I'm a cowherd boy, and like sometimes we have names and we think, maybe I'm that name. It's exciting, I'm Lord Shiva. So many things. But anyway. But through the process of purification of the heart by chanting, the spiritual master will enlighten the devotee about their swarup. It's a realization. Prabhupada explained that. So every stage there's newer and newer realization of chanting. And the last one is Sarvatma Snapanam. The seventh benediction mentioned by Lord Chaitanya is that there's nothing else. Inside, outside, everything becomes purified. There's no other process of purification necessary. One's life becomes completely cleansed, materially, spiritually, everything. The holy name is complete. Nothing else is needed. He ends the verse, Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. When we speak the verse in the Sanskrit language, the ending becomes the beginning. All glories to the holy name of the Lord, which cleanses the heart. But when you write it, you mention the benedictions first, and at the end, all glories to the holy name of Krishna. Sri Krishna Jai. Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam Ki Jai. It's like a grand celebration, just glorifying the holy name. So these are the seven benedictions of chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So if we absorb ourselves in this chanting and purify our heart by avoiding offenses, because Lord Chaitanya explains that in the next verse, it's offenses that keep us from experiencing that. How to overcome offenses? The next verse he explains, develop the qualities of chanting. Trinadapi sunichena tayor ivas sahishnuna amanina mamanadena kirtaniya sadarahi. Humility, tolerance, pridelessness, and giving respect for others. This is the, what we say, requirements for chanting the holy names. And then the verse ends, Trinadapi sunichena tayorivasahishnuna amanina mamanadena kirtaniya sada. Sada means always. One can always chant the holy names if they're in this state of consciousness. So that is a cultivation of the principles of bhakti which allow us to come to that stage through chanting of the holy name and practicing very carefully the process. And realizing our position, that simply we are, what are we? We are simply Jivar Sarupai Nitya Krishna Das. We are Krishna's eternal servant. That's our, we sing every day in the prayers to the spiritual master, Chakshudana Diloye Janmi Janmi Prabhuse Dibhigyan Ridhi Prakasito. Prabhupada explains that this dibgyan, this transcendental knowledge, spiritual master gives that transcendental. What is that transcendental knowledge? You're Krishna's servant. That is who you are. You're not who you think you are. We are in this body, but we've been in many bodies. This is just one phase of our sojourn in this material world, and after some time we'll leave this body. Hopefully we'll not have to come into another body. But if we do, we'll forget about this life, and then that life will become the reality. So in each of these changes, we remain the same. We are Krishna's servant. And so by chanting the holy names and engaging in the process of devotional service, we can realize that. And when the spiritual master is pleased by our endeavor, he gives dibgyan, transcendental knowledge. That's revealed. It's not something you read in the books. You can read it. But when the spiritual master and the Lord is pleased through our endeavors and devotional service, he blesses you with transcendental knowledge. So that's our desire, to please the Lord. And how to please the Lord in this age? So many ways, but the most important way is to chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We chant the holy names to please the Lord and to please the spiritual master. I think, is it, Bir Krishna Maharaj was saying that this morning in his class. He was sitting there chanting, he was using the example. Why am I chanting? Why should I chant? Why should I be serious? Because it pleases the spiritual master. It pleases the Lord. And pleasing someone is the feature of love. We're trying to love Krishna. We're trying to love the spiritual master who is the representative of Krishna. So in that way, we show our love by satisfying them. The Lord has come as Lord Chaitanya. He's giving this mercy. If we accept the mercy, that's all he wants. He just wants us to accept the mercy. That's all. He doesn't ask anything in return. Just take it. That's all. Okay. So this is a small little tiny fraction of what we could say about the glories of the holy names of the Lord. Before I ask for questions, I'll end with one little story, which is really nice. It's a sweet story. In fact, maybe some of you have heard it. But it's one of my favorite stories. There was once this devotee of Lord Shiva. And he approached Lord Shiva. And he says, "My dear Lord Shiva, please give me some benediction." Actually, he was worshipping Shiva. And he approached Shiva personally, went to Kailash Mountain to meet Shiva. Got the darshan of Shiva. He said, "I want a benediction. I want riches." That's what he wanted. He wanted riches. Lord Shiva is, he's Asutos. He's easily pleased. He's also easily angered. So Shiva said, "You know, you go to Sanatan Goswami. He's living in Vrindavan. He's living on a mountain in Vrindavan. Dwadasaditya Teel. He was living in this place called Dwadasaditya Teel. You go there, and Sanatan Goswami can fulfill your desire. Actually, what he has is a touchstone. And a touchstone is something that is, it's a stone, but whatever you touch it to, that item becomes gold." So the man became really excited. So he finally, he went to Vrindavan, searched, found Sanatan Goswami, came to Sanatan Goswami, praised Sanatan Goswami, said, "My dear holy man, I have a request. I heard you have a touchstone. Please give it to me." Sanatan Goswami, "Oh, a touchstone, yeah. It's over there in the garbage. You can go find it through the garbage over there. It's in that garbage heap." So the man, he got excited, went over there and went looking through the garbage, and he found it. So he had the touchstone, and he was touching everything, and it was becoming gold. But after a while, he was thinking, Sanatan Goswami's a great sage, and he's not a foolish person. Why did he keep the touchstone in the garbage? I know, he's got something more valuable. I'm going to get that. So he went back to Sanatan Goswami. He said, "My dear Sanatan, I know you have something more valuable than this touchstone. I want that." Sanatan said, you're right, I do. And he said, "Give it to me." He said, "Well, before I can give it to you, you have to throw away the touchstone." "Throw away my touch? Yes, that is, I will give it to you, but you have to throw away your touchstone." So he had faith. He trusted Sanatan Goswami, but with great difficulty, he finally did it. He threw away the touchstone. He said, "All right, now give it to me." Sanatan Goswami said, "Okay, repeat after me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." So that's the most valuable gift. But there's a message in there that if we're hanging on to our material desires, it's really very difficult to get the mercy of the holy name. We have to try to give up our attachments to this world and take shelter of devotional service, the holy name, and the devotees. And then the holy name will really transform our consciousness. As long as we're hanging on to our material desires, whatever they may be, it becomes very difficult to get the mercy of the holy name, the full mercy. Something is there. Okay, I'll stop there. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Da. Znači, Haridas Thakur je mantrao 300.000 imena, mi mantramo 16 krugova i nikad nisam čuo neko filozofsko objašnjenje zašto mantramo određeni broj imena, a ne određeni broj sati, na primjer. I da li je to čisto iz praktičnih razloga, zato što možemo lakše izbrojati ime nego vrijeme koje ćemo provesti mantrati, ili postoji neko filozofsko objašnjenje za to? Haridas Thakur, he has chanted 300,000 names. We are chanting 16 rounds. And some devotees are chanting 64 rounds. But in any case, we are always counting the names chanted and not the time we are chanting through. So is there any philosophical explanation why we are counting the names and not measuring the times, the time through which we are chanting? Is it just for practical reasons, because it's much easier to count the names than to consider the longitude of the time we have chanted? Or is there any philosophical explanation why is it so?
There's not a philosophical explanation. There's a practical explanation. Again, it's easier. And we make a vow based on numbers, not on time. I remember back in the... You know, I was in New Vrindavan for many years. And New Vrindavan got off the ISKCON track for a while. It's back on, but during the late 80s and the early 90s, there were many, what we say, concoctions and new ways to do things. And a lot of things came in. We changed our dress. Devotees had beards, wearing robes, Christian robes, singing Christian hymns with Hare Krishna chants in it, and so many things. It became a whole mishmash of so many things. And one of the things was that 16 rounds was dropped and 2 hours was adopted. You don't have to chant 16 rounds, just chant for 2 hours. But it's bogus, because the spiritual master says 16 rounds. Srila Prabhupada has given us, and he's the founder acharya of the Hare Krishna movement. So not everyone can chant 16 rounds in 2 hours. Some may do it, some may not. So that was another deviation. Now, one thing we can say about time is that I know some very senior devotees, they keep clocks in front of them, and when they chant, they time how much it takes to chant each round, and that way they measure their attentiveness, because there's a certain range of time where it's considered to be good for a round. I mean, I've seen His Holiness Jayapadaka Maharaj give a seminar on this, explaining how, chanting the rounds should be between about 7 and 8 minutes per round, like that, average. If it goes over 8, means you're a little bit too slow or not concentrated enough. And, you know, if you go six, six and a half is good. Seven, seven, but like that. So this is one way of more or less fine-tuning the quality of your japa by seeing how long it takes for you to chant each round. So you can use that as an asset, but we don't usually focus on time so much because Srila Prabhupada has given us the rounds. I remember one devotee was telling me that he had lost his counter beads. So he was chanting without counter beads. And then one time he was with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was giving a lecture. And Prabhupada just happened to look at him, and then he went like this with his counter bead, indicating you should have counter beads, you know. Immediately he took that as an indication. I've introduced this. Lord Chaitanya also, he would keep counter beats. He would keep count of how many rounds he chanted like that. Haridas Thakur also kept. So numerical strength is considered to be the way to go as opposed to time. I mean, because if you make a vow, say I'm going to chant 2 hours, but someone else makes a vow and chants 2 hours, so one is chanting maybe more rounds than the other because there may be different quality of chanting. So we have to stick to the numbers. Sure.
Iskustvo da ako mantram presporo, kvaliteta nije najbolja. I also have an experience that if I chant too slow, then the quality of the chanting is not very excellent.
Not very good.
Yes, not very.
That's true.
Ali šta je s bhajanom i kirtanima? Mi u stvari izgovaramo vrlo sporo sveto ime. But what about bhajans and kirtans? On that, in this case, we are pronouncing. We are chanting the holy name quite slowly.
In the bhajans and kirtans,
yes.
Well, that's different. That's more like a meditation. We do it with harmonium or kartals. That's nice. The idea is to get absorbed in the holy name. One of the ways to chant, even when you chant japa. You shouldn't like start Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You start off very slow and get the mind connected to the sound. When the mind gets connected to the sound, then the mind goes deeper into the sound, and then concentration is stronger, it's deeper. So if you listen to Prabhupada's japa tape, he's teaching. He starts the japa tape off, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Starts off very, very methodically. And as the hearing increases, so the speed will also increase, naturally. Sometimes we just allow our minds just to go so fast. We're saying the words, and there's some hearing, but we're really not going deep enough into the name. Because the name is like a meditation. You have to try to go deep into the name. So the idea is to program your speed in such a way that your hearing is emphasized like that. If you chant too slow, your tendency is that the mind will wander. If you chant too fast, sometimes you don't pronounce the words, the names properly, like that. And sometimes you also don't hear, also. So speed comes by attention. Focus on attention, speed will follow later. Does that help? Yeah.
Yeah. So my question is why we cannot
Because when you have 50 or 100 devotees chanting at once, and sound surrounds you. When you're chanting individually, you really have to make a more of a greater effort to hear. When you're chanting in kirtan, don't listen to, keep your ears like up, and you can hear the whole sound. You become surrounded by sound, and that sound just bombards your consciousness. And then that helps, that makes absorption fast. When you're chanting individually, you have to make more of an effort. And then when we're chanting, we're also singing, and singing is very sweet. When we have a nice melody, we get attracted to the melody. Sometimes, as soon as a particular melody we like, oh, wow, whew, ecstasy in a second, right? And just all of a sudden, a particular melody, just immediately, our hearts just go whoosh, right up. You know, so that's the advantage of kirtan. But don't just chant kirtan, chant japa too. It's not that we can just chant kirtan, we need both. Yeah. Yes, Mataji. How can you give up your material attachment? Do you want to give them up? Well, there's different ways. You can offer a prayer to Krishna. This is a nice prayer. My dear Lord Krishna, from this day on, I'm yours. And you make that prayer from your heart and Krishna will do the rest. That way, that means that you're willing to submit yourself to the mercy of the Lord, the mercy of the spiritual master. And that means he'll guide you gradually giving up your attachments. And then, of course, follow the process like that. Material attachments, you just can't just throw them away because they're attached. They become second nature. And they become part of us. So we can try to stop the external activity of our material attachments. And we should do that. But we should also realize that that attachment is also within the heart. And that's where the purification process is necessary. So pray to Krishna to guide you and engage in devotional service. But be careful, if you pray like that, Krishna may work very fast. And then, I know some devotees, they pray like that, my dear Lord, please take all my attachments away. And Krishna does, and they go, oh, wait a minute, Krishna, not so fast. I didn't really mean it like that. Slow down. You have to be careful how you pray. So you can pray. Pray, the best prayer is just to be given the opportunity to engage in devotional service, to associate with the devotees, and then gradually all your attachments will start to go. You'll develop spiritual attachments. Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, Prabhu. Govinda Nandana. When we chant japa? And Lord Chaitanya says, Nam Namakari Bahudani Jasarva Shaktis tatapitani amitana smarane nakal. He says there's no hard and fast rules for chanting. But the point is, you have to hear. That's the important point. You should hear. If you can chant in a particular tune or melody, you should be able to hear nicely. That's important. No hard and fast rules for chanting. There was another question. Yes, Mother. Yeah. Audakshina. Oh, I didn't ever mention the third one. That's right. Yeah, I forgot. It's my favorite one. It's called Sleep. I forgot that. Is, you know that one, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna. Sleep. When you sit down and chant, and you start absorbing yourself in the sound, the mind's activities slow down. Meditation means to still the mind, but somehow the sleep state and the meditative state has similar brain waves. So the brain waves also are very similar. So you can become very relaxed when you're concentrated, and then you have to be careful not to fall into that sleep state. So sleep is there. If you're tired, you will fall into that sleep state. Therefore, one should be somewhat alert when they're chanting. So we can fall asleep or get sleepy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you're feeling sleepy or overcome with sleep while you're chanting, then do something to stay awake. And such as walk around, we do that. When you walk around, of course, there's more opportunities to get distracted. But it compensates for the sleep problem. But the other thing he says is that if it becomes too difficult and you're too sleepy, then take rest and chant when you're more clear like that. That's in extreme cases like that. Because you don't want to waste your time and just... You know, in my own experiences, you know, like, I'm usually tired all the time. I think since I've been in the movement for the last 33 years, I've had 2 or 3 days that I was actually awake. This is a fact. everyone, you wonder why I'm so slow. Anyway. But I'm... If I'm tired and I'm chanting, I can't do it. But you can give a lecture when you're tired. It's easy to give a lecture when you're tired. But when you're tired, when you're sleepy, and when you're chanting, it's just the worst thing. And this, I remember when we first joined in New Vrindavan back in the 1960s. No, in the early 1970s. Everybody fell asleep. You know, we didn't have any japa period. There was no japa period in those days. Mangal Arati was at 4:30, Tulsi Puja, followed Guru Puja, class, and then breakfast and the work. That was life in New Vrindavan on the farm. So if you wanted to chant your japa, you had to chant your japa before Mangal Arati. Because there was no breaks. Because we were... The community leader had one motto, work hard. That was the whole thing. Everybody worked hard because we were building this place of pilgrimage. And everybody was working really hard. So every time we sat down, we'd fall asleep. Nobody had enough sleep. Devotees used to get up 2, 2:30 in the morning. If you got up at 3 o'clock, you were getting up really late. And if you got up at 3:30, you were definitely signs of blooping soon. You were bad sign if you were getting up. I'm serious. This is not exaggeration. So everyone would chant japa before. And so sometimes it was very difficult to chant at that time, you know, because devotees were tired. You know. So we were struggling with that sleep thing. And it was difficult. So we would do many things to stay awake. Yes.
We can enter the sea and chant, thus being refreshed.
Huh?
We can chant in the sea, and then we won't fall asleep because we'll be refreshed by the water, I suppose.
You can do that. Yeah, you can try that, but don't chant your 16 rounds in the sea because you might turn into a fish. Become all shriveled up. Become salty japa. So, it's nice. I mean, I was in Jagannath Puri about 2 weeks ago. And on the beach is a holy place. Because Lord Chaitanya and all his devotees would go down to the beach every day and take baths in the sea before lunch. So we were having kirtan on the beach. So we were dancing and chanting and diving into the waves. It was really an ecstatic experience. Devotees were having a really good time. And one day Sri Prahlad was there. He was leading the kirtan. And the kirtan was so ecstatic. The devotees were going mad. Everybody was just running into the sea and jumping into the sea. And people were losing their dhotis. And it was wild. Anyway. So you can do that, but you should go to Jagannath Puri for that. Because that beach is a holy place. But if you stay here long enough in Rijeka, maybe you can make this beach holy also. After a while. You should do that. That would be a nice program. I don't know. I don't want to change the schedule, but maybe before lunch every day, take a bath in the sea and then refreshed and have a nice Krishna prasadam. It's a wonderful pastime. Swimming is a Vaishnava sport. But don't drown. That's not a Vaishnava sport. Yeah, it's good. Wonderful. Taking bath in the sea is wonderful. Jagannath Puri, the waves were so rough. Oh, God. We went swimming at night one time. It was so rough. We couldn't go beyond our knees. That's how rough the waves were. It was pulling everyone out. So strong, the undercurrent. But it was ecstatic. Anyway, that's a different subject. Anyway, go to Puri sometime. Take pilgrimage to Jagannath Puri. Because in the Skanda Purana, it says that beach or the ocean is called Tirtharaj. That means it's the king of all holy places. Sometimes we say that, you know, Radhakund is the king of all holy places, and it is. But the Skanda Purana makes another statement and calls that beach in Jagannath Puri the Tirtharaj, the king of all, because Lord Chaitanya and his devotees every day was bathed in that sea. Lord Chaitanya performed many pastimes also in the sea like that. Very special place. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu. How much time do we have? Yeah. 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 It's like that. It's not that Skanda Purana came before
But Lord Chaitanya comes once in every, how many? 4,320,000,000 years ago. He comes every, so he comes once in every 1,000 yuga cycles. So this is not the first advent of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya's coming is eternal. It's just that it comes so, it's actually 4,320,000,000 years. You have to wait another 4 billion before he comes again. But don't wait around. Yeah, but you're right. The point is correct. The current point is correct. Yes, question, Prabhu.
I da li Maharaj ima slično iskustvo? Well, everything that we are hearing from the scriptures, all the subjects that are delineated in the scriptures are ever fresh. But it seems to me that especially the subject concerning the holy name of the Lord is so. And do you also share this understanding?
That it's the holy name is ever fresh.
I mean, yeah, everything, everything that we hear on in the classes,
yeah,
in the lectures is ever fresh.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that especially this subject concerning the holy name.
What is the last verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam? The Srimad Bhagavatam ends in 18,000 verses. The last verse glorifies the Harinam Sankirtan. That's the highest of all scriptures, the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the purest of all scriptures. It's Amalam Puranam. It's the very last verse is glorifying. I don't remember the exact Sanskrit. I don't have it with me. But if you read it, it glorifies the Sankirtan movement as the ultimate of all religious processes. Yeah. The glories of the holy name. Actually, if you have that vision, every sloka you read is a glorification of the holy name. It's all about the holy name. Okay, I think it's getting close to Prashadam time. Prashadam soon, isn't it? 2:30, is it? Yes. Okay, so thank you very much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you.